Blog Talk Radio.
Very careful on the things that we say, what we do, and how we do it. If you look in your Bibles at James chapter 3, verse 8, James chapter 3, verse 8, and it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. Now, that's very interesting that it would say it's unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, one of the things that we've been talking about last time I taught was about our mind and how the enemy attacks our mind, and we have to really bring our mind into captivity, our thoughts into captivity of the obedience of Christ. Amen? And how many of us know that what happens in the mind, it affects what happens in our life, affects our mind, and we think about things, and it affects our tongue, and the tongue affects the spirit, the soul, the heart, and the body. And that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about, is what we say out of our mouths affects us in more areas than just one. And I wrote some notes here. For many years, I have done a lot of teaching on spiritual warfare. And one of the things that, you know, when you get into spiritual warfare and things like that, it's more than just casting out devils and you know, people rolling around on the floor and things like that. It's really taking authority over us, over our tongues, over our thoughts, because that's where the warfare really begins. And we have to make sure that we're taking control over that. What does the Bible have to say about the tongue? It's referred to as a fire in James chapter 3, verse 5. In Proverbs 16:27, it's referred to as a burning fire. It's also referred to as a beast that needs taming in James chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. It also talks about in James chapter 3 a fountain of either fresh or bitter water. That means that we can say good or bad things, but we have to really take control over what comes out of our mouth. It also talks about in James chapter 3, 12, a tree bearing either good or evil fruit. We have to look at that. It also talks about being an unruly evil, deadly poison, a sharp razor, a sharp sword, poisonous serpent, and a deep pit. These are things that the Bible says about the tongue. So we have to bring that into what? Submission and under subjection. The Bible says that the tongue is powerful because of the effect that it has on others. When we say things out of our mouths, it not only affects us, but it affects other people too. And the tongue actually has the power to bring death and life. You know, have you ever been talking with someone before and all they speak is the glass is half empty? It's always negative. The yeah, but people, that's what I call it. The yeah, you know, you're saying something according to the word of God and the will of God, and it's positive. And then here they come to, yeah, but no, if this happened, well, you know, no, the Bible is the absolute truth. And so if we are speaking the absolute truth, then that's what's going to happen. Amen? Absolute truth, because the Bible is the final authority on everything that happens on this earth. Now, people put into motion things with their words, negative things. You know, if you say something negative, you're going to get negative. If you always saying, I'm never going to have anything, I'm always going to be broke, I'm always this, I'm always that, that's exactly what you're going to have, because you're going to have what you say. So we have to turn that around. The Bible says, Proverbs 18:21, that life and death are in what? The power of the tongue. The Bible specifically says our tongue, our words have power. And so no matter what's going on, what we see, we can turn it around with our words. I'm going to give you a testimony. Someone that I know had been battling with all type of mental illness, drugs, and things like that. And I just began to speak. I said, no, they have the mind of Christ. It's no longer them that lives, but it's Christ that lives on the inside of them. And do you know that after a while, you know, it got worse. But then I began to see a turnaround in their ability to communicate. I begin to see a turnaround in their mind and in the way they talk, in the way they respond, whereas before, when I was joining in with what everybody else was saying, you know, sometimes we do that. We come into agreement with somebody else is saying just because they're talking. But I had to stop and say, you know what? No, that's what God got. That's not what God had planned for them. And so I begin to speak opposite on what the diagnosis said, on what the people are saying, even what their actions were portraying. I begin to speak opposite of what man was saying and begin to speak only what the word was saying. And when somebody would say to me that, well, you know, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Well, why not? Because that's not what God is saying about that person. And so we have to really refocus our mind on the word, no matter what our physical eyes see. Amen? And so also the tongue is powerful because it has an effect on us. It has an effect on us. And we can literally snare ourselves with our own words. If you look at Proverbs 6:2, it says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So what does that tell us? We can set up traps with our own mouths that we'll fall in a ditch that we created ourselves. And God is saying, no, don't do that. Don't create ditches. Don't set up snares for yourself. And also, the tongue is powerful because it has words that can separate. Our words can separate us from God. And we find that in Psalm 12:4. Now, when I was looking at a man, I could literally separate myself from God by what I say. And it says, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is the Lord over us? So what is that saying? That's saying, you know what? I'm my own God. I'm my own Lord. I'm going to do what I want to do. These are my lips. I can use them any way I want to use them. But that separates us. That puts a gulf of separation between us and God when we begin to use our words and our lives in a way that we want to use it instead of yielding everything to God. The enemy has a lot of strategies that he uses to try to separate us from God or to even try to get us to say certain things. And when we look at our tongue, our mouths, and what we say, it is closely related to our heart, our body, our soul, our spirit. For example, if Satan has control over your heart, he has control over your tongue. You know, the Bible tells us to guard our heart with what? All diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. So we have to guard our heart. If you look at chapter 15, verse 18 through 20, it says, but those things which proceeded out of the mouth come forth from the heart. That's deep. And they defile the man. How does the heart proceed? Evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. And the scripture is clearly saying here that it's out of the heart. The Bible also says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we look at the word of God and we look at what we're saying, if something just flew out of our mouth all of a sudden, it didn't just fly out of there. It was in there. What's in there is going to come out. And that's why we have to try our heart and say, you know, Lord, cleanse me, purify me, uproot everything out of my heart that is contrary to your word and what you would have me to say or do or even act. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes, have you ever heard that phrase, they acted out of character? It was in them. If something is in us, it's coming out. When the pressure is turned up, stuff that's in us will literally begin to jump out. And you might even say and shock yourself and say, where did that come from? The heart. Because out of the abundance of what? The heart, this is going to speak. So we have to examine ourselves daily. I mean, I have to examine myself every day. Because sometimes people call me, you know, in my family, and I'm like, oh, my God, what? What are you calling me about this for? And you said, Lord, help me to be long-suffering like Jesus. Help me to be sensitive. And so we have to do that. We have to really do that. Now, when you look at Luke 6:45, this is another scripture on the battle. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringing forth that which is evil, for the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so, you know, we have to be careful, and it can't be two-sided. It can't be lopsided. You can't have evil and good both coming out of your heart. Something wrong. That's like multiple personalities going on. You know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. But, you know, today I'm happy and joyful, and I got all this, you know, happiness and joy of the Lord, and tomorrow I am cussing like a sailor. No, it don't work like that. But unfortunately, some people think it's okay to cuss, scream, trip, and be a Christian. But we have to bring ourselves under subjection of the word. Amen? Satan literally uses things for you to say to cause a breach or opening in your spirit. If you look at Proverbs 15:4, it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. What is a breach? A breach is something that has been broken down. You know, I think about many years ago when they had the flood in New Orleans and the levees were breached. What happened when the levees got breached? All the water from the ocean flooded the town. And that's how it is with us. We have to be careful what we say, because what we can say could cause a breach in our spirit, and then all the filth go to flood in. Just think about it. You watch one foul picture on TV, and you have to battle with what you saw the rest of the week. We have to be careful what we allow in our spirit, because what we allow to be deposited in our spirit will eventually come out. That's why we have to be careful of what we watch, what we listen to, conversations that we entertain. I remember flipping through the channels and landed on a commercial, and boy, oh boy, I thought they was about ready to get busy. They were just kissing and hugging and doing. I was like, oh my goodness, you have to watch what you see. You have to watch that. And, you know, you can repeat things over and over. Like, why would they have a gum commercial when people, you know, it baffles me. But we know it's the enemy trying to pull people into all types of seductive stuff. Now, also, talking about evil communication, you can create a breach through which Satan enters to war against your spirit. And Satan can also use your lips to affect your soul. If you look at Proverbs 18:7, now this tripped me out when I read it. It says, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare to his soul. That's deep. That's really deep. His lips are a snare to his soul. So we have to be careful what we're speaking out of our mouths. Amen? We really, really do. And it's important these days, because the news would have it. The news wants to put so much propaganda out there that we'll begin to speak what they speak. If we watch negativity all day long about this is going to happen, if you don't do this, then this is going to happen. Well, you know what? If I don't get in the word, and if I don't feed myself with the word, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to have a drought in my spirit, and I'm not going to be spiritually strong in the Lord. If I don't pray, then it's going to be an issue. No matter what man say, I know I got to feed myself with the word. I need to take my medicine, which is the word of God, more than 3 times a day. Sometimes I have to take it 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day just to keep my mind right. Because there's so much going on now. There's bombarding people, you know, situations, circumstances, family, whatever. We have to keep that word before us. Proverbs 21:23 says, now this is a good one. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from trouble. Wow. We got enough trouble going on. We don't need to bring none on ourselves, do we? And through the tongue, Satan affects the whole body. Look at James 3:6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and set it on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now, those of us that are saved and filled with the Spirit of God, I'm praying this don't pertain to us, because it says that our tongue defiles our body. So if we're saved and we're filled with the Spirit of the Lord and we're walking in His presence, you know, there's two types of people, saved and unsaved people. People that yield their total being to the Lord, and people that are just playing around, and we have to yield ourselves to Him. Our tongue can affect our whole lives. In Proverbs 3:13, it says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Wow. Let's just take a pause and think about that. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. I'm not trying to lose my life. I mean, sometimes, have you ever seen or heard of people that just go roaring off at somebody, somebody pull out a gun and shoot them? They didn't keep their mouth. They could have walked away from a situation, but pride will have you stand up and try to get the last point, or you're not going to talk to me like that. It don't even matter. What your word, what you're saying to me, I'd rather walk away and keep my life. Proverbs, I'm going to say it again, 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that open wide his lips shall have destruction. I tell you what, I don't want to be around people like that. And I'll tell you why, because when they get the smack down, everybody around them, they get it too. So if you are around or know people that can't keep their mouth shut, that always have to have something to say, it might be beneficial to, like, kind of get away from them. Because, you know, you never know what type of destruction that they may be bringing upon themselves, and you don't want to be a partaker of that, and neither do I. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's talk about types of words. The enemy wants, there are types of words that the enemy wants us to speak in order to get the result that he wants to get from us, okay? When you look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it talks about covetous words. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Have you ever said, man, I wish I had that? Ooh, I want that. Ooh, look at that new purse. I love my purses. Or look at that, or look at this car, or look at that house. But God says, be content with such as you have. He said, I will never leave you. And if God, and he does get closer than a brother, he will not leave us. He will not forsake us. Our Father will make sure that we have everything that we need so we don't have to covet what someone else has. The enemy also, another type of word is idle. He wants us to speak idle words. Pointless. What does idle mean? Pointless and without words. Just words. Just, have you ever talked to somebody where they just talk and they're like, what is the meaning of all this conversation? It just don't even make sense. They just talking and talking. Then after they get done with one subject, they say, oh, yeah, by the way, and then it's a whole other subject. And you're trying to figure out, what are they trying to say anyway? And you don't forget the whole beginning of the conversation. If you look at Matthew 12:36, it says, but I say unto you that every idle word men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Pointless words. Words without worth. Words are not a benefit to the kingdom of God. Nobody gets saved. Now, I know that, you know, we don't want to be religious fanatics, because some people can, like, go over the edge and they can say stuff and do stuff instead of winning people to Christ. They run them away because they're religious. And we can't even talk to people that have no knowledge of the word. We can't use all these scriptures and stuff. We have to love them to Christ. We have to, you know, take them with baby steps. When I first got saved, if somebody would have came up to me, thou sinner, thou art going to heaven, you know. And I'm like, what in the world is wrong with this person? But we have to come to where people are and meet them where they are. Another thing that the enemy tries to get us to do is use foolish words. Proverbs 15:14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Hey, Glory, what's your favorite word? That's just a bunch of foolishness. Yeah, and so it says that the heart of him that understanding, that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. If you are a knowledge seeker according to the word of God, you don't tolerate too much foolishness, if any. I'm going to let you get away with saying a few things, but in a minute, I'm going to have to shut you down if you're talking foolishness, stuff that just don't even make sense, add up. And then especially if you start trying to, you know, say something about the scripture and you don't even know what it's talking about, you're just putting it where you feel like it should fit. And, you know, we have to shut that type of stuff down. And that's one of the things that the enemy wants people to do, covetous words, idle words, foolish words. How about unprofitable words? 2 Timothy 2:14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So don't speak unprofitable words, things that don't even make sense. You know, it's not going to profit the kingdom. Is what I'm saying a benefit to help somebody get saved? Is it a benefit to encourage somebody? Am I admonishing people in the way of the Lord? Or am I just having idle chit-chat, which is okay in a sense, but we can't get to the point to where the words become unprofitable and then you begin to undo what you've done for the kingdom if you keep on talking. Sometimes we just have to say what we have to say and be quiet. Amen? Evil, another thing, evil about things you do not know. Speaking evil about the stuff you don't know. You know, I remember one time I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and we were having a conversation about a minister, and the pastor said, well, I believe, because they weren't into deliverance, they weren't into any of that. They were just into straight teaching the word. An altar call, after that, go home, you're good. And the pastor I was speaking to had an issue with people falling out in church, speaking in tongues, and I do agree that if you're speaking in tongues in an open setting, there needs to be an interpretation of what you're saying, otherwise it doesn't, you know, it doesn't profit, it's not, you know, edifying. And so, but the pastor had a problem with people passing out in church, speaking in tongues, had a problem with people getting delivered and regurgitating and all of that stuff. And I said, be very careful that you're calling something that God is doing on hold. You're skating on a very thin line, thin sheet of ice there. And so you can't speak evil about things you don't know, because God may be moving in a way that we're not used to him moving, but that doesn't mean that it's not God. Amen? June 10 says, but he speaks of evil, of those things which they know not. And then also another scripture, 2 Peter 2:12, it says, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. So we don't, you know, it's really important that if we don't understand it, ask the pastor. Pastor, can you break that down to me? Can you help me understand what just went on? Can you help me understand? Because I saw something or I heard something, witnessed something in service that I'm not quite sure of, and I just want to get an understanding before I start speaking evil of it. Look at that. That wasn't God. You see how they was rolling around? God don't make you roll around. You'd be surprised. If you got stuff coming out of you, you may roll around, run around, jump around, fall around. However God want to do it, that's his business. Amen? Also, another thing is flattering words. 1 Thessalonians 2:5, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. So we don't want to use flattering words. I mean, it's okay to say, oh, you look nice today, or, you know, God bless you, you know, you look wonderful, whatever. But you don't, here it's talking about, you don't use flattering words to try to get something. You're not trying to flatter people in order to, you know, get them to do something for you, give you something or whatever. Oh, you look like a million, but can I get about $100? You know, that type of thing. You look like a bag of money. You don't want to use enticing words. Colossians 2:4 says, and this say I, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. And what happened? Eve said the serpent did what? Beguiled her. With enticing words. He beguiled her because, number one, he made her think that she didn't have enough of what God had already given them. And so we don't want to use enticing words. We don't want to murmur and complain. And we don't want to use murmuring, complaining, and boasting words. Remember in the Old Testament when the Israelites, the children of Israel, were in the wilderness, and they murmured, they complained, a whole generation perished, died in the wilderness, and only their children were able to go over, except a couple of the spies that, you know, made it in. And so we have to be careful about that. Jude 16 says, these are murmurers and complainers, walking in their own lust, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of the advantage. So So they were murmuring, complaining, and walking after their own lust. When you get into murmuring and whining and complaining, there's also ulterior motives that are not lining up with the word of God in our heart. When we murmur and complain, it's really because we want something somebody else got. Or we being a little covetousness. That's going on too. So we have to be careful that we're not murmuring and complaining. What causes a person to complain? Most times when a person complains, it's something that they want that they don't have. Am I the only one? I have to check myself. Why am I murmuring about that? Why am I complaining about I only got oatmeal in the cabinet? I want some sausage and eggs. You better be content with what you have. And thank God that he will never leave you, right? Hallelujah. 2 Peter 2:18 also talks about it. It says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through the much wantonness, and, though that were clean, straight from those who live in error." I'm sorry, let me read that part again. "Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error." So, again, it says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh." Okay, boasting words. What's happening when they do that? They are alluring people to them through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Wantonness is evilness. It's wickedness. It's perverseness and things like that. So they want to lure people into them, birds of a feather flock together. Most of the time, when you see a bunch of murmuring, complaining, and boasting, all those type of people congregate together, and they don't hang out with people that are worshiping, praising in spite of. You rarely see people, unless you're able to lure them into the kingdom with the love of God, you rarely see those two mixing. And if you see a mixed multitude, it's time to figure out why is the mixed multitude so comfortable murmuring, complaining, and boasting in my presence. And I'm not shutting that down. We have to. Another thing that the enemy uses is vain words. He uses people to speak vain words. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, Psalms 12:2. And vain words, again, are, words that are out of order or, puffed upness, proud words. The enemy tries to use pride. Psalm 17:10 says, "With their mouth they speak proudly." We don't want to do that. So we have to be careful the type of words that we use. We have to use kingdom words. We have to be careful of what we speak out of our mouth, because every single thing that comes out of our mouth is saying something in motion. Because the spiritual realm is more active than the natural realm. Amen? And when we speak out of our mouth, every time something is being set in motion. If you're speaking, and I've had to literally, I was talking to my daughter the other day, and she said something. I said, "You know what? You might have to, let me back that up. You are not right." And I was wrong for agreeing. It goes like this. And I had to change it around, because had I come into agreement with something that was said or how she felt, it would have put that situation in motion, because I came into agreement with her words. It's power in agreement. So instead of coming into agreement with what she said, I had to back it up and said, "No, this is how it is according to the word of God. Let's agree with this statement right here." You know what, Mama? You're right. I know I am. I know I am. Jesus helping me. Boastful words. Psalm 94:4. It says, "How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves?" In other words, we cannot boast about ourselves. Look at me. Look what I did. I can do that better than anybody else. I'm the bomb, Well, y'all, in your own mind, you may be, we may be, but God is the bomb, amen? He is the ultimate, and we're going to make our boast, as the word says, we make our boast in the things of the Lord, amen? Not ourselves. The enemy will also try to get us to use cursing and bitter words. Romans 3:14 says, "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness." See, that's one of the things that the enemy, there'll be so much pressure, so much frustration, so so many things coming all at one time that if our heart is not full of the word and if we are not prayed up in the presence of God before we know it, something when we done came out of our mouth, you'd be like, what in the world? Where did that come from? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you know what? It may not even be that you're focusing on something, but if you watch television shows where it's just blankety, 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 the whole time through the movie, and it had a good storyline, then, you know, that stuff gets in our spirit. And then it pops out at an unopportune time in front of somebody you just witnessed to. Your witness is ruined. And all of that stuff, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to say that. Then they're looking at you with the side eye like, gee, I thought you were saved for real.